6. We're going to be talking about something a little bit different now, though, because we wanted to bring you an update on the proposed Lower Thames Crossing. It's been a little while since we've spoken about it. This is a tunnel that should link East Tilbury to Kent. It's said to be the UK's biggest roads project since the M25, and the idea is that it's an alternative to the Dartford Bridge, which I'm sure you've used many times. Estimates say that building it will emit 2 million tonnes of greenhouse gas, and the traffic created by the road is expected to generate another 3.2 million tonnes over 60 years. To offset that pollution, the idea now is that they're going to plant a lot of trees. A green space the size of 135 football pitches will be turned into woodland at the Hull Farm site, which borders the junction 29 of the M25. So let's talk a little bit more about this. I'm joined by Laura Blake, who is the chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group, which opposes the project. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having us on the show again.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. So what do you make of these plans? Because on the face of it, it seems great to have a new green space. What do you think?
Well, obviously, we're all about supporting planting the right trees in the right place. However, up until recently, Highways England have always referred to the proposed Lower Thames Crossing as being between the A2 M2 and up to the M25 near South Ockendon. Now, for listeners who may not be aware, South Ockendon is south of the A127, but all of a sudden, Highways England are trying to associate the Lower Thames Crossing with the home farm community woodland, giving the impression it's part of the LTC scheme and would be planted alongside the Lower Thames Crossing, when in reality, the woodland would be north of the A127 and alongside the M25. Also, if the woodland is part of the LTC scheme, how can they be stating that it will go ahead regardless of whether they get permission for the LTC or not? Because they can't proceed with the LTC scheme unless the permission is granted. They're jumping at the opportunity to try and associate the LTC with the community woodland, yet they always seem to shy away from revealing how much woodland and ancient woodland would be destroyed and impacted by the Lower Thames Crossing if it goes ahead. We think it's a bit like they're greenwashing people, and it doesn't really surprise us when we're coming up for another consultation that they're trying to make their project look better than it really is.
So just to be clear on what you're saying that you think actually this is slightly separate to the crossing.
Definitely. It's not within the LTC scheme. It's not within the development boundary. And they've said it will go ahead regardless of whether they get permission for LTC or not. The very fact that they're saying that shows that it's not part of the LTC scheme, because they legally cannot go ahead with the LTC scheme unless they get that permission.
Well, just to say, for balance, we will be speaking to someone from Highways England very shortly, but I'm speaking to Laura for now. So obviously, you said that you support planting trees in the right places and at the right times. Would you support this if it were in a different patch, if it were a new project as part of this Thames Crossing?
We've tried to fight this on a two-pronged approach. So obviously, ultimately, we would like to stop it. I mean, let's be clear about the fact that Highways England's own figures show that this crossing would not solve the problems that we all suffer with through the Dartford Crossing. The Dartford Crossing would still be over capacity, even if the Lower Thames Crossing goes ahead. That's a fact proven by Highways England's own figures. The destruction it's causing would be bad enough if it went any way towards solving the problems, but it simply doesn't. So we want to actually try and stop this, because we feel that everyone deserves better and that we deserve a better solution, especially when it's £8.2 billion of taxpayers' money that's being spent on this. But obviously, if the worst happens and it goes ahead, we would like to see the best worst-case scenario from that.
And what would that be? What could... I mean, I understand that you just don't want it to happen at all, but what kind of compromises would go some way to satisfying you?
Well, that's the other thing, Emma. Highways England are being very cagey about sharing information and giving us enough detail to fully understand exactly how much woodland and what the environmental surveys are. They keep telling us that we're going to have to wait for the detail as part of the environmental statement, which won't be released until the development consent order application goes in and is accepted. So it's very hard to judge what is considered adequate mitigation when they're not giving you a clear picture of exactly what the destruction will be.
OK, well, we are going to put your points to Highways England. What are your next steps? Obviously, you're part of a group who's actively trying to stop this. What are your next steps?
Well, we're very aware. We've seen online that Highways England are going to be having a further round of consultation, but evidently starting in July. So we'll be gearing up to take part in that and helping share information and encouraging others to do the same and have their say on this. and then ultimately that will then lead through to them attempting to submit the development consent order again, because their first attempt of that was actually withdrawn because they were at risk of the planning inspectorate actually refusing it because it wasn't an adequate application.
Okay, so we see what happens there. And just sort of a final word on the woodland. What, you know, do you think that as part of any kind of compromise to satisfy you, would you want there to be an additional woodland project, or is that to you a smokescreen?
I think the main thing at the moment is the fact that this community woodland to us is just showing Highways England up for the fact that they are attempting to greenwash the LTC project with this. And what we actually need and want is some actual real information from them, details of how much exactly would be destroyed by it, rather than them keep delaying and avoiding telling us that.
OK, well, I'm going to ask them. They're on next. Laura, thank you so much for talking to me. Laura Blake there, chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group that opposes the Lower Thames Crossing. Again, that's from East Tilbury to Kent. So it's going to be a sort of alternative to the Dartford Crossing. Going to get some travel news for you next, and then I will be picking that up with Highways England. BBC. BBC Essex. So we're talking about the proposed Lower Thames Crossing, and to recap, as a sort of environmental measure, there's a plan to plant a lot of trees on the Home Farm site, which borders Junction 29 of the M25. A green space the size of 135 football pitches is planned to be turned into woodland. Now, I've just spoken to Laura Blake, who is the chair of the Thames Crossing Action Group, who opposed the project. She was not particularly impressed by this. She didn't think it was going to go any way to allaying her concerns about the environmental impact of this proposed crossing. And I said that I would put her points to Highways England. Emily Dawson is with us from Highways England. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Emma. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So let's deal with this idea, first of all. The idea that this is going to be 5 million tonnes of carbon dioxide coming out of this project. Will this woodland really go any way to offsetting that?
I think one of the things to remember is that the government has got some really ambitious targets around decarbonising road transport and indeed transport generally. Indeed, you know, by the time Lower Thames Crossing opens for traffic, we'll no longer be able to buy a new petrol or diesel car. And indeed, by the 2030s, those users that are passengers on Lower Thames Crossing are going to find that they've got a carbon footprint that is pretty comparable, actually, with what we're going to be expecting to see in rail by that point. And indeed, this is just one of a number of ways that that we, as part of these proposals, are seeking to mitigate the environmental impacts that inevitably we are going to be seeing when we increase capacity across the river. That is absolutely crucial to allowing local people to travel further and more reliably for both jobs, for training, and to allow businesses to do more businesses that will unlock the economic growth that we're looking for in the region.
Laura's point, though, was that this woodland wouldn't actually help that much with the environmental impact. And it was just kind of an easy PR move, maybe, to kind of distract people from the amount of carbon dioxide that's going to be spooled out. What would you say to that?
There are huge benefits, I think, from this particular project. I mean, it is huge. It's a huge site. It's going to be a great community asset. There are going to be benefits in terms of carbon sequestration, absolutely. So offsetting some of those carbon emissions that we're going to see in the environment. But there are also huge biodiversity benefits as well. An area of this size will see potentially 150,000 trees being planted there, perhaps some ponds. All sorts of habitats for the local wildlife. And I think the other thing to remember is that as well as the biodiversity, this is also a real asset for local people. Now, I think what we all saw during the various lockdowns that we've had locally last year, that access to high quality green space, somewhere where you can walk, cycle, throw a frisbee around with your children and connect with nature are really, really important. And one of the benefits of this particular project is going to be that it is absolutely promoting those healthy, active lifestyles and impacting everybody's mental health and well-being in a very, very positive way.
But how much woodland is going to be lost in the process?
So across the whole of Lower Thames Crossing, there's actually a net gain in woodland of around 100 hectares. Inevitably, on a scheme of this size, unfortunately, there are going to be locations where some trees are going to be lost, but we will be making up for those on a ratio of at least two trees for every one, and in many locations actually more than that. So 100 hectares of additional woodland across the scheme is a really significant amount. And I mean, as we've already talked about, there are benefits both for people who can access those woodlands and, of course, the wildlife that is going to benefit from that additional connectivity.
So where else are we going to see that?
It's all along the route, actually. It's all along the route in various locations. This is certainly the biggest location where it will be in one set block, because actually what we've done by working with a lot of our environmental stakeholders across the region is look at what the benefits are of connecting existing habitats. So a lot of them are going to be connecting, but this is going to be the biggest flagship community woodland. And it's a great asset to be able to leave for the local community.
And obviously there are groups like Laura's that are opposing this project. Where are we with the timeline of work, and how confident are you that this is going to happen?
So in terms of the timeline, we are looking to resubmit our application for planning consent later on this year. So we're still absolutely on track. It's a really exciting time for the project, and I think it couldn't come at a better time. You know, there is so much emphasis at the moment on post-COVID recovery, on creating new jobs, getting people back into work who've unfortunately lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic. And of course, unlocking that long-held aspiration for up to 1 million new homes in the Thames Estuary. You know, this is a project that couldn't come at a better time for our region.
And how confident are you about the impact this could have on traffic across that busy stretch?
So in terms of the Dartford crossing itself, it will have a really positive impact. It will take away 13 million cars from the crossing, which is a huge amount. That in itself will positively impact air quality at Dartford. We'll see an improvement in air quality at Dartford, as well as, of course, as improved quality of life for those local communities who, at the moment, as we all know, when there's an incident, it can really, really cause us all problems, both in terms of congestion and also that uncertainty of how long it will take us to get across the river. But I think what's more key, actually, is the impact it's going to have on road users, and having those reliable, fast journey times that mean we can all now really rely on how long it's going to take us to get across the river. And of course, with that reliability comes an increased confidence in taking jobs or exploring new colleges or schools the other side of the river that at the moment, unfortunately, are kind of closed off to us because we just don't have that certainty. And that's what this scheme is going to deliver for our community.
And so just to be crystal clear, because I just want to get this right, are you saying that all of the measures you're putting in place, including this woodland, will offset all of the carbon emissions or not?
So I think what we have to remember is that one of the scheme's objectives is to unlock economic growth. That's what we're really, really focused on, making sure that this scheme does, as well as mitigating the environmental impact. Inevitably, when you have cars and you unlock those new journeys that are going to be unlocked, you are going to have some environmental impact. But we are really confident that both we and the wider industry are doing absolutely everything possible to make sure that we create the best balance of delivering against that scheme objective, but also making sure that we minimise our impact on the environment and actually increase things like biodiversity across the route.
So any environmental impact is, in what you're saying, justified by the economic benefits of this?
So that will very much be a question for the Planning Inspectorate when we submit our application for planning consent later on this year. But we are confident that, yes, absolutely, this is a good scheme for the region. We are absolutely confident that we've developed the right solution and one that will absolutely deliver against our scheme objectives.
OK, we'll leave it there. Emily, thank you so much for joining us. Emily Dawson there from Highways England. And before that, Laura Blake. We were talking about the Lower Thames crossing and, you know, the environmental impact of it and whether that is justified by the economic benefits. OK, we'll probably come back to that. I'm sure we will let you know what happens in the consultation and we'll keep you across all of that because I know it will affect you and your journeys through the county. It's 25 minutes past five. Let's